Splat. Bam. Pap. Boom. Right in your face with the comic book sound effects as we beating up the block out here in these podcast streets. You heard me? It's the Freedom Train podcast series. I am Joseph Ward, and he got his hoodie on because we fighting out here in these podcast streets. Mm-hmm. My dog, Patrick Al Darius Irvin. What it is, mm-hmm. Al?
Mm-hmm. Holy smokes, Batman.
Oh, hey. Wait, what is it?
Precious pandemic, Polly.
Right, say that. Slippery slope rubber band, Batman. What's going on?
Like, Robin, why do you always have to say such corny lines? I don't know, Batman. Maybe because you keep taking my girl.
Ooh.
Ooh. I keep taking your girl because you're not a man. Boy wonder.
Ooh. I get it. Boy wonder.
There you
Boy
go.
Wonder.
Because he wondered when Batman gonna stop taking this girl. Pap. Boom.
Maybe Batman is wondering if he like girls or boys.
I don't know, but all I know is Batman say he win it and Robin say he ain't. So
hey, man. Good with you, folk.
Man, everything is everything out here in these podcast streets. What's going down over there in the in them Carolina Hills?
You know what's funny? I heard that they were having a debate in one of these counties around here about teaching critical race theory in school. Critical race theory.
Okay.
And they're trying to ban it before anybody even really pushes to get it passed. I was like, that's funny. They're going to create problems for themselves because half the people out here don't even know what critical race theory is.
I think I read something. I scanned something about that a while back.
How you trying to ban something before people even know what it is? Now you telling people what it is, and they're going to be like, oh, that sounds good. Let's do that.
It's called prevention, Patrick. Prevention.
Yeah, it's called stupid because it's working the wrong direction.
All right. Hey, man, but before we get too far left, remember that the Freedom Train podcast series is brought to y'all by PAX, Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PAX, Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information, make sure you visit the PAX, Inc. website at www.pactsinc.org. That way you can learn more about the organization, how you yourself can become a member, how you can donate. You can go through their code of conduct and apply them to your life. You can learn how to get involved from the initiatives that have going on. Take advantage of that learning center and support that store. And you can also support them through the Amazon Smile program. For all of our new listeners, if you don't know what the Amazon Smile program is, it's a program that Amazon created to help you be able to support nonprofit organizations as you purchase. So go to AmazonSmile.com. Register your favorite nonprofit organization, which is PACTSINC.org. And once you register, go on about your business, buying stuff on Amazon like you do, and a portion of your proceeds will go to PAX, Inc. So that's how it is. Also, while you're online, make sure y'all visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com, the home of the greatest podcasting and Mr. OnlyFans himself. This guy. That's it.
Oh, yeah.
But also check out Patrick, Shelby, Queen Candace, and Enigma all here on the Freedom Train Network as we lay out all these wonderful podcasts that we got out here in these podcast streets.
Hey,
what's up?
You think about going from Patreon to OnlyFans?
I'm thinking about doing both.
Jersey. Mm-hmm.
Hey, so brunch with the calls. Brunch and converse with Shelby's World podcast. You invited to join us Saturday, On May 29th, from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m., Mimosa's Great Food and Entertainment. It's going to be a lot of good conversation. It's going to be a lot of good food. Shelby can really cook. I'm going to be talking about relationships, black community, building wealth, all types of stuff, building with one another as people. So y'all make sure y'all check it out. Saturday, May 29th, all my Tallahassee folk, y'all could be there in person. Everybody else, I believe it will be streamed, but I will confirm that for Saturday, May 29th. All you got to do is go to Shelby's World Podcast at underscore Shelby's World Podcast on Instagram. Check that out or contact us. We'll make sure we get you all the details and information. Joe at freedomtrainradio.com, Pat at freedomtrainradio.com. That way you can learn more about Branch and converse with Shelby's World Podcast on May 29th. Really going down in the South. Most Great Food Entertainment. And your boy will be in the Bill Don. Dr. Tip will be there. Dr. Tip will definitely be in the Bill. So make sure y'all check it out. Check it out. Check it out. All right. So topics today. We're talking about some COVID. Mm-hmm. Talking about some vaccines. Mm-hmm. Talking about ransomware attacks on and that affect the gas. And then we talk about the shooting of Andrew Brown.
Mm-hmm.
So real quick before we get into our main topic about COVID. So lately there has been a COVID outbreak in India. So if y'all been paying attention to us and following us, because we've been paying attention and following COVID for the longest. Because we are the first podcast in the world that we know of to talk about COVID. So we're going to continue to give y'all the updates. Say it again. Say it with your chest.
Facts.
Ooh.
That's so facts. That's facts.
You said it so hard. That swing behind you started moving.
You better believe it.
There you go. So for a while, India was not a big issue to the world as far as COVID cases, because for some reason, India had a grip on its COVID cases. We talked about that on numerous occasions. I talked about that with other people outside the podcast on numerous occasions, because my question was, I wonder what's going on in India that they don't have an explosion of cases, because two hotspots I was looking at was China as a whole, not just the Wuhan province, but China as a whole, and India, because they have the two largest populations in the world. And we know India has the largest population in the world, and they have a lot of poor people and a lot of people living in close quarters.
Right.
So something we need to keep our eye on. And lo and behold, we have an outbreak. So from what I'm looking at, this information I'm looking at, India has 23 million total cases. 19 million people have recovered at 250,000 deaths. Over, let's say, in March of 2020, there were 20 new cases. Say June of 2020, 14,516 new cases. June 19th of 2020, 14,516 new cases. September 10th, there's 96,551 new cases. In November 25th, it dipped down to 44,489 cases. February 6th, it's 12,143 new cases. And then come about, let's say, April 26th, you got 62,000 cases. March 26th, you got the new cases. And then April 8th, you got 131,000 new cases. April 14th, 200,000 new cases. You know, April 23rd, 346,000 new cases. Then we come up to where we are, May 10th. They have 329,942 new cases as of today.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the question is, well, what the hell is going on between the sheets in India's home? Because what caused this? Did y'all get it? Oh, did y'all catch that? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I finished the song in my head.
Okay, that's what's up. Contagious. I mean, it kind of goes, but
it does.
But, So, real quick, in February, healthcare workers and epidemiologists in India puzzled over their good fortune. Coronavirus cases had gone down, demand for ventilators were manageable, and experts predicted that the country would be spared a major second wave. In April, events have taken a different turn. Images that have gone viral on social media show how bodies heat in makeshift crematoriums. Hospital beds and oxygens are scarce. Desperate patients and relatives have turned to the black market for medicine while others die in hospitals and oxygen shortages. Recent days have seen repeated record infection figures, which are likely undercounts. The death toll from the virus surpassed 200,000 on Wednesday, and India again reported a record number of fatalities, and experts cautions that those numbers were underestimated. So real quick, how did it get so bad? It said that question continues to puzzle experts. Back in February, hospitalization numbers had plummeted, and India was reporting about as many new cases per day as New York State, despite being 50 times as populous. So right now, they're saying we really don't know. Experts are starting to think that immunity in India may not have been as widespread as previously believed. Some scientists argue that earlier waves of infections primarily affected the poor, but the current surge is reaching wealthier people who had just started socializing again after staying home for the first wave. They were saying they was having large group gatherings and things. I mean, it seemed like they kind of let their guard down.
That's what I've been thinking. Mutations happen, things of that nature happen, and people let their guard down too soon.
Yeah.
It don't seem like a mystery to me at all. I mean, we know it could 2-3 months from now, we could find out it's something else. Maybe India has been suffering this whole time and it just wasn't getting out until it started reaching the elite. But to me, from what I've read, the clear answer is that they let their guard down.
But it's something that I believe everybody need to keep their eye on. This is not something that you look at as entertainment or like, oh man, I feel bad for them. And keep an eye on it because America is opening back up.
Mm-hmm.
America don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I told you last week, they got it, mask wearing ain't mandatory. They're about to not make it mandatory in Florida, I think June or July. So, but America really don't care. So.
Yeah, and Americans are not going to shut back down again. They're not going to tolerate it. It's not going to happen. If Biden tried to shut the country back down again, they would try to overthrow the government again.
Again, they'll come back with reinforcements this time. So they're trying to avoid all that.
Yeah.
They really are trying to avoid all that. So, but just you know, give people a heads up on what's going on in the world with coronavirus outbreaks. That there's an outbreak in India, and what happens in India does affect the rest of the world because it's so populated. So you got 159 million cases in the world, and 23 million of them come from India.
You got to think about it, right? Every time this thing jumps from one person to the next and replicates inside of a cell, there's a chance for a random mutation that could make it more contagious or deadlier, or both.
Along with strands from other parts of the world being around. So that helps the mutation.
Right. And with India being the second, I believe, most populous nation on the planet behind China,
that's what China. I did say India was more populated than China then.
India, it might be. I don't know the exact numbers right now. I know historically China has been more populous than India. But the fact of the matter remains, that's a lot of people that could be potential mutations. A lot of opportunities for potential mutations that could find their way back into America. And then we just had the basic discussion about, you know, human kindness and altruism and all that other stuff. But go ahead.
So China got India by like 60, by like 50, 60 something thousand people or something like that. So China is 1,397,000,000. India is 1,339,000,000. So.
Yeah, not that close.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Either way. Yeah. But that leads us into talking about this this Pfizer vaccine that has been cleared by the FDA to be given to kids ages 12 to 15. So before we get into the details, Pat, what are your overall thoughts about Pfizer vaccine, period, and it being cleared for ages 12 to 15?
Well, I think there's a difference between giving a vaccine to adults and giving it to kids. Now, ultimately, I'm going to say the same thing that I've been saying the whole time. Do what's right for you and your family.
Right.
If you feel like it's best for you and your family to get vaccinated, and that includes your kids, I'm not going to tell you not to. If you feel like it's a crime against humanity and you would rather die first, I'm not going to tell you not to do that either. But personally, I'm like, even outside of the specifics about the individual vaccines and how they work, I just, giving vaccines to kids is different than giving it to adults, especially when the research is still the long-term research. We know short-term, everything looks great. Everything looks fine. There are a couple hiccups here or there. But the long-term research impacts of how this is going to affect humanity, how it's going to affect any sort of retroviral developments or anything like that. Like, a lot of that stuff to me is still unknown. And I know there are a lot of scientists that are very intelligent, a lot of doctors that are very intelligent that look at this and say, yeah, but the likelihood of something happening is extremely low. And I understand how probability works and I understand likelihoods. I'm just at a point where I'm like, it. Again, there's just so many different components you don't know. We hear all the time about vaccines that were good, and then 5 or 10 years down the line, we find out that there was some other effect that wasn't the case then. And again, I say, if we're talking about adults, that's one thing. When you're talking about kids, for me, that becomes an entirely different, more nuanced, more important discussion. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I get what you're saying. But I also get why they would be pushing for vaccines for kids. Because yeah, they about to go back to school and be in close quarters next to each other like it was in 2019. And so you don't want kids to bring the virus home. Now, I guess my biggest issue with that is, but we still know, like, I'm vaccinated, you know. So, mm-hmm. But I can still get the virus and transmit the virus.
Right.
So I guess that's my confusion, because the thing is, it's if you're vaccinated, it will lessen the symptoms.
Right.
But it won't lessen the transmission.
Right.
And so shouldn't we be working towards getting to a point where the transmission is lessened rather than just this? And I understand stuff happened quick. So let's deal with something. I'm going to deal with the symptoms. But if you're going to be sending kids back to school, shouldn't this version of the vaccine, especially for kids, if you're going to give it to them because of going back to school and things, shouldn't it be something that could block the transmission rather than just focus on the symptoms?
Yeah, and see, I understand even the scientists that would say it's really difficult to develop a vaccine that prevents transmission because transmission occurs outside of the body. So I get that. But I agree with you. Like, so the kids get vaccinated, and we know at this point, it's been proven at this point, people don't really understand what is happening when they get vaccinated. So they get vaccinated and they think, oh, I'm immune. I can go hang out. I can party. I can have fun. Not realizing that you're not immune, you can still get it.
Well, that's what people are acting like. That's what's aggravating me.
Right. And not only can you still get it, but you can still transmit it to people that are not vaccinated or the people that are vaccinated. Like, you can still give it to people.
You speaking facts, B.
So what, that's kind of where I'm at with the school thing is I'm looking, and that's why I wanted to say, even with India, it seemed like they opened up too soon. Because America seems like we're following suit. A lot of people are really comfortable with this idea of a vaccine, not realizing that there are multiple strands of COVID going around now because nobody did what they were supposed to do the way they were supposed to do it.
And the vaccines aren't built to deal with the symptoms of all the strains.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly where I was going. So I'm doing a risk benefit analysis in my head of getting 12 to 15 year olds the vaccine in the current culture of America. And I just don't see the benefit being greater than the risk. And the risk is going to be increased because of the lack of, or the ignorance that people have about vaccines, how they work, and what it means to be vaccinated.
I want to be wrong.
Oh, me too. Absolutely.
I want to be wrong, but I believe there's going to be an uptick in cases when college and elementary, middle, high school start back in the fall. I believe there's going to be an uptick of cases.
Well, and they're really painting themselves in a difficult situation because, say parents get their kids vaccinated and the kids get sick anyways. Now they're like, well, we got vaccinated. How did this happen? Now you got an issue there. Say parents don't get vaccinated, but their kids go back to school and they catch something. Now you got another issue there. Say you make vaccinations mandatory to send kids back to school. Now you have another issue there from the parents who are going to say, you're trying to force me to poison my kids. But say even after you do all of that, there's still an outbreak at the school where vaccinations were mandatory. Go ahead.
We got a shit show right now because they could have, if they would have did what they're supposed to do from the jump, we wouldn't be here with this bull because it's like a lose-lose situation, seems like.
It absolutely is. There's no way to win right now outside of coming up with a pure cure. And that's not going to happen. And even if it did, you would still have large segments of the population at this point that wouldn't take it.
Yeah. So let me read a little bit of this article. So it says, the FDA on Monday approved Pfizer and BioNTech's request to allow the COVID-19 vaccine to be given to kids ages 12 to 15 on an emergency use basis, allowing states to get middle school students vaccinated before the fall. Okay, so this is specifically targeting middle school students.
Absolutely, 12 to 15.
Right. But, well, yeah, because, well, duh, because it's already eligible for high school students.
Mm-hmm.
So, duh, Joseph. All right, so the U.S. agency granting use of the shot in adolescents will also accelerate the nation's effort to drive down infections. Yeah, whatever, we just talked about that. Public health officials and infectious disease experts say the two-dose vaccine is already authorized for use of people 16 and older. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's Vaccine Advisory Committee has scheduled a meeting Wednesday to review the shots for kids. If approved by the CDC, as expected, it could be distributed to adolescents as soon as this week. And they're expecting it to be approved this week if it's not already approved. Today is just Tuesday. But Acting FDA Commissioner Dr. Janet Woodcock.
What's wrong with you, man? We need to make you say cock over and over again until it ain't funny no more.
Duh. It's Woodcock, dog. I mean,
something really wrong with you, bro.
I had a moment, but hey, forget you if you don't like it, okay? It's just funny, though. Woodcock. Your name Wood and Cock? Come on, Janet Woodcock. Come on, man. All right. You know, well, whoever her husband, if she married, he got the business when he was growing up. So anyway, Anyway, Janet Woodcock said the decision brings us closer to returning to a sense of normalcy as it ended the pandemic. She assured parents that the agency undertook a rigorous and thorough review of all available data before clearing it for the use in teens. The company said in late March that the vaccine was found to be 100% effective in a clinical trial of more than 2,000 adolescents. They also said the vaccine elicited a robust antibody response in the children, exceeding those in an earlier trial of older teens and young adults. Side effects were generally consistent with those seen in adults, they added. Vaccinating children is seen as critical to ending the pandemic. The nation is unlikely to achieve herd immunity when enough people in a given community have antibodies against a specific disease. Until children can get vaccinated, health officials and experts say. It says also says children can make up around 20% of the total U.S. population, according to government data. Between 70% and 85% of the U.S. population needs to be vaccinated against COVID to achieve herd immunity, experts say. So that's what they're looking for to get this done.
Herd immunity is a pipe dream, and they need to stop talking about it, in my opinion. I don't think it's going to happen. The credibility America has with its citizens used to just be black people. Now everybody, nobody trusts the fucking government. Herd immunity is just not a realistic goal at this point. I don't see a pathway to it. I say 70 to 80% of the people that I talk to on a daily basis, even the ones that are studying the vaccines and all of that, even the people that are vaccinated that I know, most of them don't trust the government. They got vaccinated for some other reason. So, and without trust, like if the people don't trust the people administering the medications, they're not going to go get the medications, and they're not going to encourage other people to go get the medication.
Well, that's one of the things that's actually happening now. And this is going off my observations within my own community. I mean, people's lack of trust of the government is delaying a lot of people for getting their vaccine out. For my purview, remember, I'm a part of an organization that is actually giving out the vaccine. So we did 13 vaccines today. We did 22 yesterday. Saturday we did about 40 Saturday. That's just the last couple of days, last 3 or 4 days doing vaccinations. People are getting vaccinated. So one of the issues we're having, and we are giving out Pfizer. So now when people come in and they're asking, well, which vaccine do you recommend? Well, first of all, we can't recommend vaccines. We can give information. So that's what I do. I give information about each vaccine. Well, this is what we know about Pfizer. This is what we know about Moderna. This is what we know about Johnson & Johnson. I have to catch myself to try not to say, hey, but we ain't fucking with that Johnson & Johnson.
I have been saying that.
I had to catch myself to not say that because it's not on us to sway them for what they want. But you know, we give them information about the vaccines, and we actually give them information packets as well so they can educate themselves. One thing we don't want people doing just blindly taking the vaccines. I know that's how we take it. So we want to make sure people are fully educated. If they got questions, bam, we're gonna sit down and answer their questions and make sure they're straight. If you got anxiety about it, we're gonna do what we can to ease your anxiety with information. Because the thing is, it's not on us to persuade you to get vaccinated. That's not what we're here to do. But we're here to persuade you to educate yourself about the vaccinations. Absolutely. So now we are seeing more younger people come and get the Pfizer. Still a lot more older people that we're encountering getting the vaccine. That's, I don't know why, but there's some people that just, they really want that Johnson & Johnson. I don't know why, but they do. But I hear what you're saying about the biology part, though, and I don't think that's what we really consider the most when it comes to these vaccines. Like, how does it affect the biology moving forward, especially for children who are still in their prime, who are still growing, testosterone and estrogen and all those things they're shooting through their bodies, and they got all these changes still going on. So shooting them with the vaccine, long-term, what's the long-term effect? I do think their parents need to look into that information before they just jump into getting the vaccines.
Right, and I will say this before we transition. It's the same thing I would say with adults. If you're not going to get vaccinated, you need to take this shit seriously. You still need to be quarantined and social distancing and all of that. And even if you are vaccinated, you still need to be doing the same shit. You just got a little bit more leeway depending on your living situation.
Stop gathering. Stop gathering, people. The virus ain't going to slow down no time soon until we stop gathering. It's not, we're not in a place to where everything is just cool. Stop that.
Right. We've got to.
Let me look up some new COVID cases in the U.S. by the state. Just look this up real quick. All right. So, well, Florida still got 2.27 million. Florida's still third in the nation as far as total cases and things. Let me just look up Florida real quick. The new cases. 3,231 new cases. Well, 2,296 new cases in the state today. So numbers are down, but still out there. So
I wonder if that's more people that actually got vaccinated, though.
Probably so. But let's drive this thing into a different direction and talk about this gas price hike that's coming up, or that's happening right now. You like how I did that? Let's drive this to a different. You like that? You like that transition? Let's drive it. That was Yo. Hey, man. So, is people, Americans, y'all got to stop panicking every time something happens. You got to stop panicking. So everybody panicked and said, I need to go get gas.
Mm-hmm.
Not half the goddamn gas stations ain't got no more gas because y'all like, I need to go get more gas before the gas prices shoot up because some ransomware attack on U.S. pipelines. And everybody ran to the stations and just filled them up and got all the goddamn gas and just took all the gas. Got me running around the goddamn city today trying to get gas because my ass had gas when I needed to, but shit, I had shit to do and wasn't really paying attention to my gas goddamn tank. So that's my goddamn fault, Joseph. But still, I'm riding around the goddamn city on fucking 5 miles left till I get to empty. And luckily, I found the station off Pensacola Street, but I can't get no gas because all y'all done took gas. Like the price ain't gonna be up the next time you get gas. I just had to get that off my chest real quick.
No, but it's real though. That's how I ended my show on Lessons from the Screen yesterday when I talked about what's happening. You know, it was kind of like, so people ran out to get gas so that they would have gas when they need gas, even though they didn't need gas at that moment. And most of those people aren't going to restrict the usage of their vehicle because they have gas, meaning that if this thing continues on, they're going to need gas next week and not have any gas because they took all of the gas this week. Huh.
Thank you, Americans, for being right. American.
But this is where I'd be like, look, I honestly, people be like, the government keeps so many secrets. And I point to examples like this and be like, can you blame them? I wouldn't tell y'all shit after the toilet paper thing.
I mean, but look, let's not act like they didn't tell us this in the movies. Let's act like we've never watched movies and you heard the people who play the government officials explain why you can't tell the mass populations certain things like this because people would panic. They say that in Men in Black.
Yeah. The person is smart. People are stupid.
That remember when Obama was president and they got the clip of him talking about the government having to think for the people because the people wasn't smart enough to think for themselves?
Yeah, they're not. I mean, look, and the telltale, what makes this perfect is that America was already in a gas shortage.
Right.
Because of the drivers, the driver issue, not being able to transport it, and a couple other things happening. We were already in a gas shortage, but nobody was tripping, and we was managing because nobody realized it. The moment the ransomware attack happened, and everybody was told, right, everybody ran out and got gas now. Everybody ran out and got gas. And now we legitimately don't have any gas anymore. And half of y'all don't even really need the gas like that. You just took gas from somebody that potentially is riding on fumes to take your car from three quarters to full.
I mean, but there's a way to do things. And that's why I think as societies, we have to stop being so individualistic, that regular individualism. We need to get past that. And we need to be better organized as a society. I'm not even talking about a race thing. I'm just talking about as people and human beings. We need to be better organized. Because there was a way for everybody to get gas and there still be gas left over.
Absolutely. It's called what we've been doing.
Right. Right.
Everybody gas when gas. You need gas.
But the price going up doesn't mean panic and go just take all the gas. The price going up means, all right, well, the next time I get gas, the price going to be higher.
Yeah.
That's what that means.
Society works when people are operating as if society is going to continue to work. The moment you get in your mind that society is coming to an end and start operating like society, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
That's how you end society.
Man, look, I keep saying this, but, you know, going back to movies like 1984, even Snowpiercer, that's on Netflix right now, just talking about the group mindset and how people can be easily conditioned to move and like an automaton and like the whole group of sheep and they all move. Nobody's thinking, they're just moving and moving and moving and reacting. And a lot of people, they really believe that they're thinking for themselves, but they're really just following the trend and being the sheep who believes that you're an individual, but as the herd go, you go.
You go, right.
Because the individual sheep is the one who's away from the herd, who the herder has to go try to wrangle back because this is the rogue sheep.
Right.
If you're doing everything everybody else doing, you just a regular ass sheep. So let's read. Already rising ahead of the summer travel season, U.S. gas prices could soon approach $3 a gallon, depending on how long a major pipeline remains out of commission after a ransomware attack. AAA forecast gas prices could climb this week in reaction to the shutdown, the auto club said on Monday. And you know what? Reading that, I think another thing that made people panic is, I know on Negro.com, the Tallahassee version, they were telling people that the gas could go up to $7. And I was like, $7? That don't sound right. No goddamn $7. Like, we'd have whole refineries blown up and wars happening, and the gas prices didn't go up to $7. But Negro.com said the price was going to go up to $7. And so that just popped in my head. And I think that sparked a lot of panic in these streets because they're like, $7. And the shit went up 10 cents initially when everybody was talking about that shit. It went up just 10 cents.
You know what's crazy? Let me jump in real quick. What's crazy about that, too, to me is Everybody's worried about hoarding gas for their car. What about gas for your house? Like, have you heard of any runs on, like, hot water companies? Or, like, I ain't even really heard nobody talking about the gas they use for their stoves or their hot water or nothing like that. Like, this pipeline delivers gasoline products across the spectrum.
Nah, dog, just bought the car.
I guess if you can get in your car, you know, you got.
So how does that affect you? How does that affect travelers if there's these gas shortages and you out there and you're on a half a tank, you got a long way to go, and you pull up to wherever station you pull up to and ain't got no gas? Now what?
I mean, I guess you're going to siphon out of somebody else's tank because, you know, you go to somebody's yard, they got gas.
Your trip is over. Let me finish reading. Prices have been edging up before the cyber attack, like Pat just said, on growing consumer demand and recent economic growth. Over the last week, the national average for a regular gallon of gas has risen 6 cents to $2.96, according to AAA. Should that trend continue, an increase of 3 more cents would bring the average to $2.99, making for the prices gas since November 2014, it said. It is very difficult to pin the exact amount prices may rise, but for now it appears to be a few cents per gallon, possibly growing more significant if the pipeline remains shut down for more than 2 or 3 days. But if people just read too. Around the nation, gas prices range from a high of 14 in California to a low of 261 in Mississippi, according to AAA. As the shutdown of the country's largest oil fuel line stretched into a third day, the Colonial Pipeline Company announced a goal of sustainability resorting to operational services by the end of the week, according to the FBI, a criminal gang known as Darkside that cultivates a Robin Hood image of stealing from corporations and giving the cut to charity. In behind Friday's act. Now these boys, wild too. While the situation remains fluid and continues to evolve, Colonial Operations team is executing a plan that involves an incremental process that will facilitate a return to service and a phased approach, the company said. Colonial links refineries mostly in the Gulf Coast with markets in the southern and eastern U.S. providing refined fuel for more than 50 million Americans, roughly 45% of all fuel at the East Coast. And that's what I was about to say. The pipelines really affect us in the Southeast. So these boys, Darkside, after they did their cyber attack, they was like, oh, shoot. Shit. I don't think we should have did this, Willie. Well, I don't know, Rodney. We didn't already did it. And they were like, hey, excuse me, world. I bet. Right. See, what had happened, right? You're going to laugh when we tell you this. So sit down. You're going to laugh. So what had happened, right, is we were just playing around. We were trying to do some criminal stuff, but not real criminal stuff. We were just trying to do some criminal stuff that happened criminality-like. And then, boom, cyber attack on the pipeline. Boom. Shut stuff down, but we saw her. Don't do nothing to us. All right, bye. Like, what? Well, now I was trying to read because me and the dude was talking about this at the gas pump today. Me and another black dude was talking about how these boys, well, how they did their cyber attack and just like, my bad, and just expect everything to be cool.
Yeah, I don't see. And see, for me, I was like, yo, this is kind of wild. But then there's also some things said on their website that kind of hint at the fact that maybe it wasn't them. Maybe it was one of their partners. Because, you know, they create the software and they let other people use it as long as they kick them back a cut or whatever they get. So right. Maybe somebody else used it, then tell them that they were using it. And then it was because there was some comments made on their website about them. They said they're going to make sure that their company and the partners they work with do more due diligence to make sure that they don't cause any social issues with their targets.
I saw that.
So I was kind of like, all right, but yeah, but you still like that's weird as shit, bro. Like,
bro. All right, so let's use an analogy for that. So, That's like you break it, you rob a bank, right? You rob a bank, you get away with robbing the bank initially, and then you get caught. You take like $2 million from the bank and you get caught. And then once you caught, you're like, hey man, so this not really a robbery per se. It's robbery-ish, but it's not a robbery per se. But look at it. Don't put us in trouble. But what we can do is help to make sure future bank robberies don't happen. How about that? That's basically what they did.
Yeah. It's like, look, bro, you can rob. I'm going to give you my plans, my guns, and my car to commit the robbery, right? You can use all my shit. This is another scenario it could have went. You can use all my shit to commit the robbery, all right? And then you find out that somebody used your shit to commit a robbery, and it affected people you didn't want to affect. And now you're like, oh, shit. So, look, what had happened was I didn't mean to fuck with these people like that, but you know what? From now on, any future robberies committed by me, I will make sure that it don't fuck with nobody else.
Hey, you know how sometimes when somebody get caught doing something and then they start telling you what somebody else that happened to somebody else, like, hey man, oh nah, ransomware attack. Hey, but hey bro, did you know that Rodney went to jail, bro? Did you, bro? I know you heard about Rodney. He went to jail, bro. He no. got caught stealing some panty drawers and went to jail, dog.
Panty like, yeah. drawers.
And you're like, yeah, but you still did a cyber attack, a real cyber attack on these pipelines that messed stuff up. So that's a crime.
Yeah, I was, and like I said in the show, if you haven't seen it, go check it out. Lessons from the Screen. But I find it real awkward that they have this stance of not wanting to commit, not wanting to create any social strain.
But you just did.
But you, like, come, you know good and damn well, whoever was using your product, if you want to say it wasn't me, it was one of my partners. Everybody knew good and damn well, this is the largest pipeline in America. Talking about 45% of the oil products in America, fuel products in America come through this pipeline. There's no way in hell you could think that disrupting this is not going to impact people. It's just no way. So I don't know, man. I was like, yo, this whole thing is weird, bro.
This smell is weird. Like a bunch of bullshit.
This is weird, bro. This is weird.
Hey, man, so transition to this last story as we switch our mood up, because we're talking about the shooting of Andrew Brown Jr. This shooting, it was a police shooting. It happened on April 21st. We are late, mm-hmm. but we're still talking about it. So I read this. After viewing body and dash camera footage of Andrew Brown Jr.'s death, attorneys and family members of Brown said Tuesday that it proves police were unjustified in shooting him. Brown was fatally shot April 21st when Pasquotank County deputies in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, were trying to execute a warrant. Chance Lynch, one of the Brown family attorneys, said he and the family were able to watch six videos. The first video was a dash camera video with no sound, and the last five were all body camera footage. We were able to see some critical footage that yields some truth and transparency to what we see, though we would see from the beginning, Lynch said during a news conference Tuesday. Pasquotank County Sheriff Deputy Daniel Fogg said Tuesday the video showed the attempt to serve an arrest warrant against Brown, as well as officers attempting to provide Brown medical care for the shooting. It was my hope that we will be able to release the video publicly so everyone could see for themselves what happened. Pasquotank County Sheriff Tommy Wooten added, we respect the court's decision and took an oath to abide by North Carolina law and we've done just that. The family and attorney's viewing of the video comes after petitions from the Pasquotank County Sheriff's Office and a media coalition. Judge Jeff Foster issued a written order allowing for Brown's family and one of their legal representatives to view the videos, but they would not be allowed to receive copies or make recordings. The judge filed this order Thursday night, according to a copy posted by the county. The order says the videos consist of almost 2 hours of footage. So Brown's attorney is saying he posed no threat to the officers, but officers are saying that he posed a threat with his vehicle. So Lynch said he saw Brown sitting in his vehicle when officers arrived and started yelling different things at Brown, like "show your hands" and "get out." At all times, his hands were visible. You could see he was not a threat. Lynch said it was so much yelling, we could barely understand what was happening. A shot was fired, Lynch said, and Brown put his car in reverse several feet from where the officers were standing. At no point did we see any police officers behind this vehicle, Lynch said. At no point did we see Mr. Brown make contact with law enforcement. District Attorney Andrew Womble, who was responsible for the district that includes Pasquotank County, said officers fired when the car Brown was driving moved toward them, and the car made contact with officers at least two times before shots were fired. Lynch said he did see officers firing their weapons at Brown's car. He found it difficult to count how many shots were fired. When they approached the vehicle, we counted approximately six, if not more, bullet holes in the passenger side of his car. Windows were shattered. We were able to see one shot in the front windshield and approximately six bullet holes in the back windshield. Lynch said at some point, there was a final shot, at which point Brown lost control of his vehicle and crashed into a tree across the street. Officers pulled Brown's body out of the car and laid him face first on the ground. No weapons were found in Brown's car. The police searched it. It was absolutely unequivocally unjustified, Lynch said. Our legal team is more committed now to pursue justice because what we saw today was unconstitutional and it was unjustifiable. So it's another case of, you know, the word of the people versus the state. So what's your thoughts about this?
I mean, my thoughts really don't change much. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I know I've talked to you offline about, and not just you, but PC and everybody else. I don't really follow the shootings no more. I don't really follow any of this stuff anymore because one is nothing's going to change.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't even know why it's still a thought that things will change given the decades and decades. And it's not like black people are doing anything new. Like if we were doing something new, I would be on, but we're doing the same shit we've been doing for decades. Like, you know, white people are doing the same thing they've been doing for decades, and police officers and law enforcement has been doing the same thing. So if everything's continuing as if it's business as usual, even right, our protests are business as usual, then, you know, like I would be silly to think that anything is going to change. So I don't follow it. I do want it to stop happening. So I'm taking my own steps to make sure that things stop continuing the way they're continuing. But those steps don't require me to stay abreast of every last single breath right that makes the news.
Well, yeah, you don't need to stay abreast, and you don't need to get addicted to trauma like that. I do think we should know what's going on, but absolutely, we don't have to be the person who follows every single story and just trauma. So
I track the numbers, like, so the overall total numbers is what I'm looking at. Is it going down or is it going up? We know that one is too many, especially at the hands of law enforcement, people that are supposed to protect and serve. One unjustifiable homicide, murder, is too many. But on the other end, I feel like at this point, people are, again, this goes back to my view of a lot of people as being narcissistic assholes. They are inserting themselves into a situation that they don't belong in. They're getting in the way of the grieving process of a family.
Right.
They're getting in the way of the psychological issues that the people that know these people are having to process and deal with. And they're inserting themselves into a situation and making the situation worse for the people they claim to care about so that they can get whatever 15 minutes of fame or get whatever emotional or get whatever it is they're trying to get out of it. A lot is it has nothing to do with changing conditions for Black people, and it has nothing to do with the conditions are helping the family process their grief. So I feel like it at this point is dishonorable and it's shameful. So if we're not going to talk about this shit from the standpoint of making a real and actual difference while at the same time not getting in the way of the grieving process of the family, we shouldn't, like, what are we doing? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's another case of the police didn't have to kill him, but they chose because it was a Black person.
Right.
So, where do we go from here? What do we do next? I mean, we keep asking that question. We're going to stay informed about what's going on. But
Yeah. We got to stay informed. We have to stay informed. And, you know, I don't blame the podcast and the news shows for covering this kind of stuff because it's hot topics. You know, you want people to listen in, and this is what people are in tune to right now. So I don't blame anybody for it. My thing is just make sure that you're doing other things to try to prevent it from happening. Like, you know, I know what you're doing out there with Link Up and things of that nature. I know what I'm doing here in the city of Charlotte. But there are a lot of people that are just making posts on social media and not doing anything. Those are the people that I'm talking to. And they know what to do because they've been told what to do. We've given out what you can do on this show so many different times. So at this point, it's kind of, unless you're just brand new to this shit, if you can name off any number of people that have been killed in the last year, then you should know what to do about it. But if you've been sitting on your hands for the last year and you learning all these names and following all these stories,
that's kind of weird.
You still have no clue what to do.
It's kind of weird, man, to just be collecting trauma like that, collecting deaths, and especially if you're not going to do anything about it. That's very weird. But,
yeah, but we know people do it. We know they people do. Now that are doing it they currently. Do.
Well, I think, like, for me, I kind of try to catch myself, but I find myself looking sideways at the people who wear the names of the people who were killed, or like on the shirts and stuff.
Yeah.
Because I'm always, you know, the question is, all right, so what are we doing about it other than just acknowledging their deaths? Because we have to do more than just acknowledge the death. So how do we get to a point to where what's happening to Andrew Brown isn't happening at all anymore?
But, like, right, like, and think about how disingenuous and hurtful that is. So, heaven forbid, knock on wood, pray to God, nothing happens to any of my children or me. But something happens, we'll say something, hypothetically, something happens. Somebody prints my name on a shirt without permission from my family, and none of those proceeds go to my family. And my family's out and about one day, we'll say 2 or 3 years later, and they see my name on a shirt. Think about the type of trauma you just created for my family, who now, seeing that name unsolicited, have to relive the trauma of whatever unfortunate situation happened to me. And now they also have to think about the fact that somebody's getting rich off this.
Well, I doubt people's thought process even goes anywhere near that, because it's not about the person who was really killed. It's not about the family. It's not about what actually happened. It's about just, hey, I'm acknowledging this person's death, or even not that deep, just, hey, I'm acknowledging, or I don't even know. I don't know. Let me stop.
So I follow you. So what you're saying is people get so wrapped up in their own emotions that they're not thinking about what's happening outside of them.
Right. Because, well, I mean,
that's selfishness.
I mean, of course it is. But I think that's what a lot of it is, because it's, yes, it's an acknowledgement, but it's like, I acknowledge that the bully keep punching me in my face, but I'm not going to do anything about it. That don't help you not get punched in the face no more.
Or you got you all of a sudden you go to school and you see kids wearing a shirt that says, you know, Joseph needs to stop punching Patrick. Meanwhile, Joseph is still punching Patrick.
Yeah, I mean, it's we know what we're dealing with. We know it's systematic. We know it's centuries old customs and ways of America goes about policing us, but we got to get to a point where we are taking better control of our own communities and policing ourselves. We talked about this in the show like last week and week before, where we talked about if we better controlled our communities and we're in control, because like we talked about, all Black communities don't have police ride through the hood or camp down the hood all the time. All Black communities aren't the same. There's some Black communities up there in Prince George County, Maryland. Ain't no police up there in Prince George County, Maryland like that. Some of them rich counties up there in Maryland. But it is in my neighborhood. It's when we didn't take control of the neighborhood. We don't plan on doing it either. So. Right. We're gonna continue to be vulnerable until we do a better job of protecting ourselves as a collective.
Yeah, we're going to continue to be vulnerable until we decide to be something else.
Right.
So like I said, the last time we talked about a death, which happened to be around the same time the Chauvin case verdict happened, and everybody was, you know.
Everybody was celebrating it. Here we are a couple more times after that.
Right. I hope that the family finds peace. I hope that they find justice. And I hope that things works out for them.
Right.
Excuse my language, but for the rest of you niggas, you know what I'm saying? Shut the fuck up and get the fuck out the way. Because that's all you are at this point. You're in the way. Your little Facebook post carries no weight. Your shirt means nothing. Your feelings... Nobody cares.
We got to do more than just empty gestures. Yeah, we said it.
Yeah.
You stick it to it. So wrapping this thing up, we do want to make sure we acknowledge this is still our Black Women Celebration Month. So make sure you check out our various podcasts and check out our website as we go through celebrating our Black women. We have interviews coming. We got actually three interviews coming up. I know we have Miss Kristen Jackson we're interviewing. Actually, next week's show will be with a yearly interview with our homie Miss Erica Camardi. So she's gonna join us next week. So we got her the week after. We got Miss Kristen Jackson. We got a surprise interview in there. I'm sitting down with a woman who's a social community activist here in Tallahassee. We're gonna talk about an issue that's going on here in Tallahassee with public housing. So we're going to do our Black Women Celebration through that lens on how she's helping to fight, save the community. So that's a surprise. We'll tell you who it is and how it go down on that. But that's how we're going to continue to celebrate our Black women in this month of May right here on the Freedom Train Network. And you make sure you celebrate Black women every day you live. So any parting shots, my brother?
Nah, but make sure y'all go check out The Fix, because the joint that you uncovered this week with the Black NHL or the Black hockey player lady.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. Hey, man. I can't think of her name right now off the top of my head.
Yeah, I've been calling it KK.
But Kelsey Kozer. There you go. Yep. Kelsey Kozer. Kelsey Kozer is the first. First of all, she's the first Black player in North American hockey history to be drafted number one overall in any hockey draft. Then she's the first Black person to become an NCAA hockey coach. One time for Kelsey Coates, Black Women's Celebration. Make sure y'all check out our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. Subscribe to this YouTube channel. Like this video. Share it. Make sure you comment. Talk to us. We need them comments. We need that interaction. All of our people in podcast land, y'all make sure y'all downloading this podcast and commenting and contacting us. And you can catch us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Radio Public, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and so many more. So we out here. And be looking for new things that's coming from us, new looks, new ways to present things, because we evolving, we're making this thing better. One podcast at a time, because we the greatest out here, and we shooting for that number one spot. So I'm Joseph Ward. Oh, sure, I was pointing the wrong way this time. Patrick Al Darius, and we out of here.
Yeah.